The topic is Shidduchim. And there's a preservation instinct inside of me, since the topic was Shidduchim, past, present, and future, to emphasize the past and the future and sort of gloss over the present. But that would not be fair. But let's begin with something that we just encountered only yesterday in the Megillah. Something that I consider extraordinary, and also something that I've never found in any of the Mefarshim. But I think that there is a komatz, one komatz, the vowel komatz, in the Megillah of Rus, which is perhaps the most significant komatz in all of Tanakh. The pasuk says that Boaz encounters Rus in the fields for the first time. But how did she manage to get into that field? So the pasuk says, "Vayiker mikreha." Vayiker mikreha. It happened to be her happening, her coincidence, that she wandered into the field of Boaz. Chelkas ha'soda asher l'Boaz. Now I wanted to know, how is it possible to have a komatz under the word mikre? Her mikre. How can something be your coincidence? Coincidence doesn't have ownership. It's not my coincidence, his coincidence, her coincidence. It is a coincidence. Vayikra mikre, chalkas hasoda. And it seems to me that what the komatz is telling us, in no uncertain terms, is that this mikre was orchestrated by the Ribbono Shel Olam as her mikre. But in the eye of a basar vadam, it's a mikre. She doesn't know where she's going. She doesn't have the slightest idea of what is going to happen next. She doesn't realize that she is in the field of her kinsman. And she certainly does not know what the consequences of that eventually are going to be, which includes Malchus Beis David and Yemos HaMashiach. One of the most seminal and critical moments in the history of the world, not to mention of Klal Yisrael, is being created at this moment by the Ribbono Shel Olam, completely unbeknownst to this essential player by the name of Rus, Rus HaMoavia. And that is all in that komatz, which says that it was indeed her mikra, and it was her destiny. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing her in that direction without her realization whatsoever. I think that we have to add something. And this again is something that I could not find in any of the Mefarshim, and if any of you have an address for this, I would very much appreciate it. Naomi comes back a shattered woman. Yes, she's broken. And the entire community is aware of her. Chazal go to great pains to point out that there was some great event that was happening then that brought the entire townspeople of Beis Lechem out. And they are now at the crossroads, just as Naomi and Rus, broken and barren and poverty stricken, enter back into Beis Lechem. And they say, Hazos Naomi. Is this then the Naomi that we knew? And she answers, Al tikrenoli Naomi. Krenoli Mora. She says, Hashem Heirali. Shakai Heimarli Miod. Now we would expect, what kind of reaction in the next days, weeks, or months from the people of Beis Lechem? If Naomi would have returned powerful, successful, you might have encountered a tremendous amount of resentment. But Naomi comes back and you mamish see the Yad Hashem, which she herself acknowledges. Ki yotza bi Yad Hashem. It is a time of the Ketzir Seorim. The past is forgotten. The Jews are now living a life of ample plenty. There's enough to go around for everybody. The fields are full and the hearts are glad. How is it possible then that Naomi has to instruct Ruth about what to do, and Ruth suggests, maybe I'll go out and glean in the fields like some beggar. Was there not one Jew in Beis Lechem who concerned themselves enough to care about this poor, miserable creature of Naomi? And imagine that she had no kinspeople. Where would that bother us? Would that concern us? We who are Baalei Chesed, we who are the descendants of Avraham Avinu, we who would define the genetic material of a Jew to be Rachmanim Baishonim and Gomlei Chasadim. Kal v'chomer ben benosho kal v'chomer, that this woman was related to the finest and the best and the wealthiest. Can we imagine the level of nekama that is required to ignore Naomi at her moment of despair? I cannot. I, for one, cannot imagine it. And you see the greatness and the largeness of Boaz. He's a shofet. He's a kinsman. And in the end, he rises to the occasion. What happened? So you know what I think? And I have no makor for it, I admit it right now. And without makoros, you're on a precipice. You know, to say a vertel, it's not only not worth much, it's sometimes a ziyuf ha-Torah. Very hard to say your own things. But with all of that caveat, I have a suspicion. I'll tell you what my suspicion is. Kevayochol Keilu sprinkled a powder of amnesia on the entire town. Naomi does not exist. You know why? Imagine the following. The Gemilas Chesed, the Gemach, runs to the fore and saves the day. Naomi is here. What are we going to do for Naomi? Let's help Naomi. It's true, but it was never Naomi's fault. And look at her now. She's a broken, shattered, pale reflection of her former self. We are going to take advantage of that. Are we Neukmin v'Neutrin? Or are we Baalei Chesed? And in a moment's time, the entire board votes, we're going to give her a remuneration, we're going to take care of her and of her daughter, Harusa Moavia, for the rest of their lives. That's it. No one goes to glean in the fields. There's no Vayikra Mikreha, and there's no David HaMelech. Again, I have no makar. But that hay is definitely there to teach us exactly this. The hay with the comments. Vayikra Mikre Ha. There's another case where the word mikra is used, which is equally astonishing, but in the opposite direction. Here we have Ruth wandering into a field that she doesn't have the slightest idea of who owns it, and it is created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as her mikra. You have another instance where a shidduch was created, where the address was so clear that Eliezer, Eved Avraham, has the piece of paper, he has the petek in his pocket. And he has the address. And it was pretty clear that the family was the family of Besuel. At the end of the Akedah, it says, it wasn't that the Torah is revealing it to us. The Torah is not revealing it to us. It was revealed to Avraham himself. By you got Avram, the Shmua came. And the Shmua came that he had Besuel, and Besuel Yolad es Rivka. And then the story begins of the Shidduch, of the Zivug, of Yitzchak and Rivka. And Avram calls Eliezer in, Eved Avram, and he says to him, no, not Mishpachos Aknani. They have bad midos. Go to my family. Oh, which family? What family? So clearly he told him the family of Besuel, because he heard that just at the time of the Akedah, he heard that there was in fact a woman that was ready for Yitzchak. Ubesuel yolad es Rivka. And Eliezer Eved Avram, the dutiful, responsible, committed servant, comes to that place. And instead of making a beeline to fulfill the shlichus, which he refuses to eat even until he finishes his word so that he can fulfill his shlichus. And he is the ultimate servant. Dolo mashka mitoras rabba. And yet he stops in the center of town at the well and he says to the Ribbono Shel Olam the following words. Hakre no lefonai. The word mikre pops up all over again. Hakre no. You know what that means? Hashem, make it happen. Unbeknownst to me, he takes in effect the petek and he throws it into the well. There's no petek. There's no address. Ribbono Shel Olam, you bring her to me. I want to find her. I want to discover her. It's incredible. What's the pshat? What kind of thing is this? And of course, Chazal are very busy with this whole idea of, you know, simonim and, you know, tamim tiyem Hashem alokecha. What's the pshat? He has the address. What is he doing? I think if you merge these two psukim, the Vayikam Mikreha and the Hakrin Olafani, I think you will discover that there's a tremendous lesson in Nogea to Shidduchim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavik Zivuvim. We'll speak about it a little bit more in a moment. But Chazal tell us that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mezavik Zivuvim. Everybody knows the famous Medrash. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavik Zivuvim, we mean two things. Number one, that when the person doesn't have the slightest idea of how that shidduch is going to come about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pulling the strings. That's Vayikar Mikreha. And whenever somebody says, could you imagine this happened and this happened, this happened, this had a connection, this one had a friend, and this is, they met in Eretz Yisrael, and this, and this. She wasn't supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael, she went to Eretz Yisrael, she wasn't supposed to go to that seminary, she went to that seminary. It's Maisim B'chol Yom. A person should know that that's Vayikar Mikreha. There's a comment under that hay. And sometimes we think that we know the address. I was thinking about that bachur already since the day that he was born. We have such a wonderful relationship. It's such a geshmaka shidduch because it's in ve'agefen, din ve'agefen, dovah no'am miskabel. Wonderful, wonderful thing. We don't even have to travel far because they're members of our own community. The Sheva Brachas, there's no going to Toronto. It's fantastic. So a person should know that that is a blind spot. And that's what Eliezer Eved Avraham wanted to show. He wanted to teach the future a lesson. It's always Hakrei Nolefanai. It's always Hakrei Nolefanai. Even when you have the address, or you think you have the address, it's always Hakrei Nolefanai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezavek Zivugim. The stipler, the Chazon Ish perhaps, once said to a person who was lamenting bitterly that every time someone suggests a shidduch, there's someone in the community that passes the shidduch. A scoundrel! But he was convinced that this is not a good shidduch for anybody, and every time they asked information, he passed the shidduch. It so happened, Chazon Ish said, don't worry, if the shidduch is meant to happen, it will happen. And it happened that this person got sick and he had to go to Switzerland or wherever to get an operation. He was gone for a few months. During that time, the shidduch was suggested, the shidduch was made. By the time he came back to the chuppah. There is in shidduchim a tremendous sense of anxiety. And when a person knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mezadeg Zivugim, he has to also know that the anxiety is of no value whatsoever. Of course, that brings us to another question. But before we get to that, I wanted to focus on the Medrash that we mentioned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mezadeg Zivugim. Where does that come from? So this Medrash actually is brought in Bereishis Rabbah and Vayikra Rabbah in two slightly different versions. But what they have in common is the following. Matrona Shu'ala es Rabbi Yosi bar Chalafta. Amrolai. There was a certain Roman noblewoman, and she asked Rabbi Yosi bar Chalafta the following question. Kama yomim bora HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Olamai. How many days did HaKadosh Baruch Hu spend creating the world? Amalai l'sheshes yomim. Kidichsiv ki sheshes yomim osa Hashem es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz. Amalai mahu oise me osa shoa v'ad achshav. So what does Baruch Shalom do in his spare time? After all, that was a long time ago. Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoshev u'mezaveg zivugim. Bito shel ploni leploni, ishto shel ploni leploni. It's interesting. It sounds like the second zivug. And then he adds mamono shel ploni leploni. The idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezavik zivugim is making shidduchim in the much larger sense of making deals happen, of bringing people together who are strangers to one another and effecting transformations and changes. This is all in the level of kinyonim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is masterminding. And lav dafka shidduchim alone. Mamono shel ploni leploni. Amra lo v'dohu nasei. Big deal. Afani yuchol alasos kein. Kama avodim kama shvachos yesh li lishoa kala ni yuchol azavgon. Amra lo im kala hi beinecha. If you think it's easy, you should know that it is difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kriyas Yamsuf. This, of course, also is reflected in the Gemara Masechet Sota, the Kosha Lezavgom Ke Kriyas Yamsuf. And there are, without a doubt, more than 1,000 pshatim and material for 1,000,000 Sheva Brachos Drashas in those pshatim. And every day there are mischadish chidushim, like the Rashbam says in his Pirush. Every single day there are new chidushim that are coming out every day in the Pirush HaMikra. Here we have chidushim in Kosher Lezavgom Ke Kriyas Yamsuf. Don't think for a moment that I'm not going to offer my own. Well, Halach Loi Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta. Rabbi Yosi ben Chalafta finished his encounter with her and he went back to the Beis Medrash. Ma osisa, it doesn't say that he went back to the Beis Medrash, but where else? Ma osisa, notla elef avodim ve'elef shvachos. She thinks big, you can say that much for her. She could have started with 10. She takes a vow. She's so confident, she's so absolutely secure in her mind. That's why she's a Roman noblewoman. But she's so convinced that she says, I'm going to start with 1,000. So she takes 1,000 slaves, men and 1,000 women, shvachos. V'midoy son shuras shuras. This minute, by the way, was taken over by the Moonies. Anyhow. V'midoy son shuras shuras. Omra. Plan yosav leplainis, uplan tesav leplainis. So this fellow's going to marry her and she's going to marry him. V'zivgol son belaila athas. In one night, she married them all off. L'machor asun l'gabor, they all showed up the next day, I guess for work. Dein moichei petziya, dein einoi shemita, dein raglei tevira. You don't have to know Aramaic, they were afgehak tetzaris. They had various limbs in disarray. And so, she asks, Amra lahoin malachoin, like what's going on? Da amrle ano boi ledein, vedein amrle ano boi leda. Miad sholcha vevias Rav Yosi b'Chalafta. Everybody was in despair. They wanted out. They wanted somebody else.
Ve'vias Rabbi Yosi ben Chalavta Amr Loilesa Loika Ke'ala Achayim. She believes that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. It's like the people of Korach down in the depths. The Moshe Emes, the Tairasa Emes. Emes he Tairas Chayim Noam Shubachas Yofa Amarta Amar Loikach Loikach Amarti Loch. In Kalahi Be'inecha Koshehi Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kekriyas Yamsuf. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Ma Oselohen. An incredibly cryptic line. Mizavgon, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He marries them, he joins them, he pairs them. Shalom b'tovasan. What does shalom b'tovasan mean? So on the surface, I would interpret it, shalom b'tovasan means without them realizing that it's good for them. But it doesn't sound like that. Shalom b'tovasan sounds like it isn't good for them. What's the pshat? Hadohu d'chsiv alokim moshev yechidim baisa motzi asirim b'kosharos. The pasuk in Tehillim Perek Samaches, motzi asirim is talking about the people who went out of Mitzrayim. But the word b'kosharos is translated or interpreted al pidrush mahu b'kosharos. The beis chav vav is translated as crying, and the shin resh vav sof is translated as singing songs of gladness and joy. Bechi v'shiros. Man deboi omer shira uman delo boi bachi. You know, I learned this medrash for the first time, I believe after I was married. And I don't know if as a bachar I would have had any sensitivity to this phrase, man deboi uman delo boi. To be very frank with you. As the Gemara says, Kol milsa de la ramya alein v'inish lav adate. Things that are not in your focus are not on your mind, or vice versa. If they're not on your mind, they're not in your focus. You don't think about things unless they're important to you. Unless it's part of your agenda, part of your life. But after marriage, I noticed that the phrase is not zocha and lo zocha, as it is in certain places. Zocha is ezer, loy zocha is kenegdoi. Yes? Here it says, boi. Boi means if he wants. If he wants means it's totally in us. It's up to us to make any marriage, bechi, even if it's the best marriage in the world, on paper, in principle, in theory, even in fact, but the man or the woman messed up. They ruined the marriage. Sometimes the marriage is not ruined by the chasm kala themselves. You know, chasm kala, as Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch so brilliantly noticed. What does chasan mean? So everybody says, what? What is chasan? No, what? Groom, correct. And what is kala? The bride. In the whole of Tanakh, chasan kala never used as groom and bride. Son-in-law and daughter-in-law. It's after the marriage that they're called chasan and kala. And it reflects, says the Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, the idea that in Yiddishkeit there's no such thing as two people getting married. There are mishpachas that are joining one another. And there's a training and an immersion in what it means to live as a Jew that was given over from the previous zivug of the chasan and the kala, that now they take, and what's remarkable is, though it doesn't say son and daughter, it says son-in-law and daughter-in-law. Because the chiddush is here that the person has to be able to adopt a new set of parents. Sometimes it happens that the churban of the marriage is dafka, not the children themselves. They're trying very hard. It's the parents. And here for a moment I would like to digress. I'm not digressing very far. But there's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed which many of you might know. The Gemara says that those mitzvahs which the Jews accepted b'simcha from the very outset, they are still performing with great joy and with great simcha. And the example of that, of course, is Bris Milah. Those mitzvahs which the Jews accepted begrudgingly, with some measure of antagonism and fear, with great anticipation and anxiety, these mitzvahs they are still struggling with. Which mitzvah is that? Marriage. And what is the proof, says the Gemara, that they are still struggling? Why? What does it mean that they're struggling? Because when they received the news that they would suddenly have to accept the entire parsha of Arayos with all of its ramifications, everybody started to cry. And what is the consequence today? What does it mean that they're still crying? Well, leka ksuba deloy rami ba tigra. There is no ksuba that doesn't have a machlokas associated with it. First of all, this Gemara, at first glimpse, requires extraordinary explanation and analysis. What does it have to do with the ksuba? The joy of a chosen kala, when we want to describe the mare kayin, on Yom Kippur, we speak about the way the chosen looks when he comes out of his chuppah. The Navi describes v'hu kechosan yotzei mechuppaso for the shemesh itself, which is zorachas. The simcha of a chosen kala, the kala, the whole image of a kala. Yosis alayach alokayach kimisos chosan al kala. There's no greater measure of joy. And the Lashono Shal Simcha, Gila, Rina, Ditza, Chedva, Ava, Vachva, Vesholom, Vereyas that are mentioned in that posuk, with all those Lashono Shal Simcha, Ashabara, Sosan, Simcha, Chosan Kala. What is Chosan Kala doing in the middle of the list? Everyone asks. The Teretz says they are Lashono Shal Simcha. The very word Chosan Kala is a Lashon of Simcha because that is what they are. It's the most joyous moment. So what's the pshat? So the Ksuba, there's a machlokas about the Ksuba. And who knows when the machlokas about the Ksuba is? What's the pshat? Leka Ksuba deloy rami ba tigra. So I'll tell you what I think. And I think that this is pshat. When chosen kala merge, what is our evaluation of this? What is our assessment? What's happening? What's happening is nitzchius. Eternity is happening. What's happening is the future after Hitler of Klal Yisrael. That's what's happening. What's happening is the possibility that these children will produce children that are Mashiach himself. That's what's happening. What's happening is that this is a kiyum of Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker v'lo yinochem. What's happening is that this is a fulfillment of the pasuk Ve'avgam zos biyosam be'eretz oyveyam lo ma'astim lo ga'altim l'chalosam lo hafer brisi itam. Hashem is preserving his covenant with Bnei Yisrael and chos and kala merge. You're free to use any of this under the chuppah if you are rabbanim. But let me ask you a very simple question. People who go around with that vision, never mind the understanding and comprehension that the Ezer Kenegdo is a critical, essential part of the other person. And never mind that, you know how I teach Ezer Kenegdo? There's only one person in the world that has the ability to be both subjective and objective at exactly the same moment. You see, objectivity is critical. When I make a decision to buy a certain stock, I don't mean it's quotation marks. You know, my Rebbetzin likes to hear the tapes afterwards. But when I go ahead and I buy a stock, I don't ask my wife. You know why? Because she's going to tell me why this stock. And then she's going to say maybe a different stock. Or maybe not a stock at all. Maybe a bond. Before you know it, I am paralyzed in a net of possibilities. When I want to go ahead and buy that stock. Now, why do I want to buy that stock? Because I saw somewhere in the Forbes magazine that it's going to go up. The same guy that predicted everything went wrong on all of his predictions for the last 6 years. And we are, because of these people, I've gehacked the tzaris tzuris, and I'm listening to him anyhow because I am what I am. No. Now she says no, and a lot of things. And sometimes she says, bedavka, yes, go ahead and do it. Why don't you call up? It's important. Give them a call. Now, you have people who are objective, but they're not necessarily yours. And they may not have your best interests in mind. Because they're not you. They're not part of you. They don't belong to you. They don't share life with you. To have that incredible subject-object personality that cares as if it's you, but has that distance just the same because she's not you. And vice versa. That That's an unbelievable gift. So if you just think in those terms, imagine what a zivug is. And a zivug takes the plag gufa. A zivug is the Gemara in Maseches Yevamah Mustaf Samach Beis. Kol ha'shori b'loi isha, shori b'loi Torah, b'loi simcha, b'loi chayma, and a whole number of other things. And finally, eino ish. There's nishka mensch. You look at an altar bocher, anyone should forgive me, but you should look at an altar bocher and you see what that means, eino ish. If you have that hasada, I beg of you to explain to me how in a million years it's possible for people to quarrel over what color the tablecloth is going to be and whether there should be this flower or that flower on the table. It is inconceivable that we should have both hasagas at the same time. But the answer is, man has an incredible ability to be extraordinarily petty and small-minded and lose the picture. But Chazal tell us that deep down there's a source for that loss of picture. How could there be a quarrel about Iksuba? How could there be an aguna? How could there be an aguna if somebody takes Yiddishkeit seriously? If somebody wants to live a life of Kedusha and Tara, how could he make someone else miserable? But the Teretz is Fagelt, or we're in a fight. I'm not going to let her get away with that. What happened? That's like Uksuba, the Lairami Matigra. What happened? The answer is, the pettiness and the smallness in us so overwhelmed us that we became completely blind and we obliterated the whole value of the Inyan of Zivug, the whole concept of what it means a person, the whole Kedusha of the other, and the whole sense that I can cause tremendous harm and aggravation and hurt. Parents, I've seen it many, many times. How many times children who are in my shiur are getting married and they call me and they say, we have a wonderful relationship that means the chosn and the kala, and we have a beautiful future ahead of us, and the parents are making a churban. And you know what happens? Parents have a machloikas about some shtus, and it's always a shtus, because whatever it is, it has to be a shtus in comparison to the values and the sense of what a zivug really is all about. So it has to be a shtus. It doesn't matter if the shtus is $5 or $5,000 or $500,000. $500,000 can also be a shtus. And where you make a wedding, whether it's in a loch, or it's in Waldorf Astoria, or it's on the moon, makes absolutely no difference in the end whatsoever. People should go into a corner and beg that they should be happy, go into a corner and beg that they should have blessed children, without mum, without suffering, without pain, that the marriage should be successful. That should be the agenda of parents. Mizol zitzin in beis medrash and davenin and say tehillim all day, until the chasana comes, and afterwards. When we get involved with the gown and with the music, how many musicians? How many musicians? Why don't we think about how much music the couple will make in their lives? How many musicians? Meshuga from Copenhagen. But I'll tell you, what happens is, it's not enough that the mechutanim quarrel. There's allegiance issues. How could you side with them? You hear a lashon? How could you side with them? That's what, in the end, the great Reb Shamshon of Fol Hirsch meant. That's what he meant. He meant, it's chosn, it's son-in-law, it's kala, it's daughter-in-law. There's another mishpacha, and there's respect, and there's love. And now suddenly there are two sets of parents. But that hasoga is sometimes very lost on us. That's a small digression. But when it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezadeg Zivugim here, and it's Rotza and Lo Rotza, that's all part of the Rotza and Lo Rotza. It's not just the Chos and Chala that have to be Rotza. They have to make the marriage. They can never take anything for granted. And they cannot assume that being married, you know, I always say, even if we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mezadeg Zivugim, but it does not say anywhere, as far as I know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim Zivugim. It just says he makes the match. He doesn't preserve it. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu that makes the match and keeps it going forever, because it's his match. Ba'a, loy ba'a. You want it to happen, you make it happen yourself. What do you make happen? The living of the marriage. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mezavek Zivugi. In ancient times, there was a very unusual minhag. You know what that minhag was? The Mishnah in Maseches Taanis and then embellished in the Gemara and further in the Yerushalmi. Very famous Gemara. By how you yomim tovim li Yisrael ki yom hakipurim uchamisha asa ba'av, tu ba'av. Yom Kippur and tu ba'av. Shevahen benos Yisrael yotzos v'cholos bakramim. The girls used to go out and dance in the vineyards. That already raises everybody's eyebrow. What's the pshat in that? Is a machlokas, but I would suggest that the majority of Mefarshim explain that when it says Shebahen, it refers to Yom Kippur as well. Now imagine, Yom Kippur, everybody's in shul the whole day. So in Yom Kippur, they went out and they danced in the vineyards. Now what was the purpose of this dance? So, there was a whole pageantry associated with it. Everybody borrowed clothing so that they should not know who's rich and who's poor, and none of them should be embarrassed. And Benos Yushalayim Yotzos V'cholos V'akramim V'chol Misha Ein Lo Isha Nifne L'Sham. It was a Shidduchit program. Whoever didn't have a wife would go to these kramim. And they used to speak, perhaps during the dance, perhaps besides the dance. It says, Omros, what did they say? Bachur Sana Einecha. Now the very first thing that you have to know is that the reason that this was tolerable and successful was because they had to tell the Bachur to raise up his eyes. In any tkufa, when we have to tell the Bachur to lift up his eyes, you can do this. And that is why the minhag fell completely by the wayside. Bachur, sana einecha. And then she told him to choose. Re'ei ma'ata baralucha. In the Braisa, it says, Yefeifiyo shebahen hoyu omros, tenu einechem liyofi, she'ein ha'isha ela liyofi. The beautiful ones would emphasize that quality and explain that that's what a wife is for. Miuchasos shebahen, hayu omros tnu einechem lemishpacha, she'ein ha'isha ela lebanim. Rashi, interestingly enough, intriguingly explains that when you have children that are miuchasim, there's a greater chance that people will want that shidduch. It's like a plan to be prepared for future shidduch. The shidduchim of your children, yichus is a good idea. And then the Braisa continues, Mechu oros shebahen hoyu omros, kechu mekchachem l'shem shamayim. Those who are not endowed physically, it's a rather politically correct way of translating the word mechu oros, but in any case, Hayu omros kechumek chachem l'shem shamayim ubilvad sheta'atrunu zehuvim. Do it l'shem shamayim. But on the condition that you crown us with gold pieces. The sense that people have when they learn this Gemara is completely obliterated by the Vilna Gaon. About what line? About the mechu oros shebahem. You get the impression that these are the losers, and therefore they have to beg that they should do it just l'shem shamayim, but they have their own sense of who they are. Any of you know that Polynesian story about the 8-cow wife? It's a very famous story. There's this person that was known to be, I mean, I'll say it, Bekitzer, you know, it's not exactly a Medrash or Gemara, you know. but very, very shrewd, incredibly skillful wheeler-dealer in one of the Polynesian islands. And everybody knew that if you wanted to buy something on the island, you should do it through him. Because whatever price anyone suggested, he always got it for less. And now came time to get married, and he goes into this town and he marries a certain girl. In those places, it's really in a certain way not so much different today if you think about it, but anyhow, you had to give cows to the father of the girl. So you gave X number of cows, considering her stature, her beauty, her prominence, the father's prominence, etc., etc. And the average person, I guess, would pay 3 cows for his wife. If she was really, what does it say here, mechuaros, he would pay 1 cow, and the father would be happy to get rid of her. And if she was very, very choshuv, he'd pay 5 cows, whatever, you know. That was the range. Now, everybody said that he's going to this father, they're going to start negotiations, and before you know it, he'll give away for free. Especially since she was basically a plain Jane, nothing special about her, really. She had stooped shoulders, and she was a little bit, you know, she just whispered when she spoke, she was afraid of her shadow. Anyhow, Bekitza, everybody was astonished, and they all laughed about him for years afterwards, that he was taken, because he paid 8 cows for this girl. And again, the kids, somebody went to visit them, and they're looking for the wife, and they remember her from the village, and they can't find her. This lady that answered the door is beautiful, she's brilliant, she's charming, she's shining, she's just everything anyone could dream for. And then he discovers that that is, in fact, his wife. So they get into a discussion. He says, how did he best you? So he says, he didn't best me. I could have gotten her for $1. But I wanted that whenever my wife looks in the mirror, she says, you know what the wheeler dealer of the world paid for me? 8 cows. And that's why she is so radiant and so elegant and so beautiful, because what you think of yourself is to a very great extent what your husband thinks of you. The mechu'orot shebahem are saying, I didn't get to the Vilna Gaon yet. The Mechu'ara Shebahem are saying, not merely because they're saying, you know, we are somebody. It's because they want that the wife that this person has should be a somebody. They want to be the 8-cow wife. And when you ma'ater your wife with Zehuvim, and you have that perception, she has that perception of herself. She is no longer a Mechu'aris, regardless of what she looks like. But the Vilna Gaon, by connecting 2 Gemaras in the beginning of Eben HaEzer, in his Bir Hagra, teaches us something phenomenal about this Chazal, about this story of what happened in the Krumim, in the vineyards, in those days. The Gemara says, in Maseches Ksubis, one man the Omar says, Tani Reb Chia ain isha ela liyofi, ain isha ela lebonim, and Tani Reb Chia ain isha ela letachshite isha. Very interesting. In other words, they take that third, and the Goyin says, this is the Gemara in Maseches Tainis and the Braisa. Yofi, bonim yichus, and tachshite. What does it mean, ain isha ela letachshite isha? What does that mean? Ein isha l'yofi, ein isha l'bonim, metoni rabchina, ein isha l'tachshit isha, zeh ha-gimul mishpachos v'sof tainis. There are many stories in the Gemara, not too many, Baruch Hashem, but there are many stories in the Gemara of bad wives. Now, you know why there are not as many stories about bad husbands? I'm not joking. Because the Gemara was written, was created, that is the Torah Shebaal Peh, for Talmidei Chachamim. And it is expected that anybody that follows the dictates of the Gemara and pursues HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda has to be a good husband. Otherwise, he's off the chart. He's irrelevant. But whatever it is, there are several stories about women. Rav, for example, the Gadol Hadar, Rav, the colleague of Shmuel, had an Isha Roh. Famous story in the Gemara, that Rav's son, Chia, tried to help Rav, because because whenever Rav would ask for bean soup, she would give him chicken soup. Whenever he would ask for chicken soup, she would give him bean soup. Now, why she would want to do something like that is not explained in the Gemara, except that she's an Isha Ra. For some reason, she wants to make him miserable. And the Gemara doesn't give her background, and doesn't talk about her psychological makeup, and doesn't say what happened when she was a child, you know. We don't know anything. But in any case, the Gemara tells us that she was an Isha Ra. Well, what Chia did was he switched. He was the intermediary. If Rav wanted bean soup, then he would tell his mother that Rav wanted chicken soup. And lo and behold, there's the bean soup on the table. And Rav says finally one day, after many years of marriage, after he is a grown person, you know, your mother finally changed. And he says, no, I know who the afis. And first he compliments his ingenuity, and then he says, don't ever do it again, because limdu lishonam daber sheker. You're not allowed to train yourself to be, you know, a mendacious personality. You see, you can tell a lie because it says Mishani Mipnei Darkei Shalom. But that's once, twice. Once you do it on a regular basis, even if you mean well in the best sense of the word, you become mendacious in your nature. And that's a terrible thing. So he says, don't ever do it again. That's why he doesn't quote the pasuk Midvar Sheker Tirchak. He quotes the pasuk of Limdu Lishonam Vadaber Sheker. But in any case, this was this Isha Ra. What Chazal are telling us, according to the Vilna Gaon and according to several other Mefarshim, is that they never divorced these women. Sometimes it's suggested that they should divorce the women, and he says, I can't because the ksuba is too great and I can't afford it. But there are other cases where they just simply, there's no record that they divorced these wives. So there are Sfarim and Mefarshim that say that that's another kind of wife. And that other kind of wife is because there are certain, now there are two tracks to this. And it's not something that's easy to hear perhaps. But there are two tracks in the Mefarshim. Sometimes a person has a miserable marriage, and it's not anybody's fault, because his responsibility is to find his tikkun in that marriage. Now sometimes that tikkun means that he has to fix the marriage. That's his avoda. His avoda is to make that marriage work. And it's as much his personal agenda as any other avoda. People are born or have rachmana litzlan infirmities. A person gets into a car crash, no fault of his own. For the rest of his life he's struggling to walk. And that affects everything that he does. It might affect his parnasa, it affects his relationships, it affects his own sense of self, his own sense of dignity. It might even affect whether he can walk to shul on Shabbos. But just the same, this is now his matzah, and he has to cope with that. And no one can say, I don't want this, I'm giving it up. We have no right. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes throws these curveballs at us, so that we become something much bigger than we were before, in this area or that area, in our personalities, in our heart, in our goodness, in our kindness, in our sensitivity. You never know. Well, sometimes that is the role of an Isha Ra, and vice versa. And sometimes the destiny of an Isha Ra is simply that a person, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon, we never know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Because as much as we believe in Schar V'Yonesh, we never know the full picture. As Rabbi Saul Salanter points out time and again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's computer, as it were, is so far beyond us and takes so many factors into account. One of the Sfarim I read says, you know, you have to, Sefer Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim says that you have to know that sometimes a person can have an Isha Ra because his parents were not good to one another. Or because of some aveira some ancestor did. So what is it, my fault? But how HaKadosh Baruch Hu manages his world is not us for us to decide. Let me get now to the issue of Shiduchim and Shadchanus. But before that, in case I run out of time, Shiduchim and Shadchanus right now, I just want to share with you one thought that I have about La'asit Lavo. Very short. The Pasuk says, anyone who talks about hishtadlus and how much hishtadlus you have to make keeps pointing out that the Chazal tell us Darko Shel Ish Lachazor Achar Ishto Misha Avad Aveda Chazor Achar Avedoso Limso Oso. So therefore, it's an inyan that he should find her, he should chase after her, as it were. Of course, it's Yesha Holech Etzel Zivugo, the Yesha Zivugo Holech Etzlo, but in the end, it's the chosn, the husband, that has to find his wife, his kala. Well, that indicates hishtadlus. You should know that I personally, and I have to say that's how I led my life, and married off my children, I personally believe that hishtadlus is unnecessary, and in fact, the whole concept of hishtadlus in Parnosa is the same in Zivugim as well. We make these superficial attempts, but they are just masks for our Kodesh Baruch Hu's activity. It doesn't really mean that we are in control, and it doesn't mean that we have made the shidduch happen. Even a shatfan doesn't make the shidduch happen. What I mean to say is, I get a call from somebody that is in Middle America, somewhere, let's say Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah. No, I mean, Irva Ein B'Yisrael, but not. It's not New York, and it's not Muncie, and it's not Yerushalayim, and it's not easy for an Erlich Hayid, a Ben Torah, to find a shidduch in his Dalet Amos. Not that many girls, but he has a girl, and there are very not many boys. So with so few boys around, he's hysterical. Nobody's calling him. Nobody's matzia shidduchim. A year has gone by. She's gone out once. And then he begins to describe this bachur, and I realize the pain. And that's the boy that she went out with. Now, what about all the days that she was waiting from a telephone call? And then, of course, there's a person that promises and then doesn't deliver. And then you discover that the other person made some inquiries. And then you say to yourself, so what's going to be? And it's very easy to become extremely unnerved and in great despair. A lot of the anxiety that forms the very marrow of parents today has to do with shidduch. So he calls me and he says, what's going to be? And I tell him, you'll definitely get your shidduch. And what he sees on the other end of the line is a very callous Rav who, Baruch Hashem, is successful with his shidduchim, and he doesn't have the slightest idea of what he's going through. It's not so. As the Rav once said, people think that I live in my ivory tower, but they don't realize, the Rav, I mean, Rav Zichrono Livracha L'Chayim Rabba, Rav Soloveitchik, our Rebbe, as he once said, people don't realize that all the problems of all the Rabbonim in all the far reaches of America, and maybe other parts of the world, they all end up at my desk. They all come to me. They all call me on the phone. I am the amalgamation of every tzara and every issue and every problem and every acute circumstance. What do you mean that I'm in an ivory tower? I have many more issues than any of these rabbonim because I have them all. Of course, you could still argue it's not the same as actually living through it. That's true. But just the same, my shita is no ishtatlus whatsoever, and the same thing will happen that has to happen. Of course, as the Briska Rav, the Rav's uncle, once said, it's true. Hishtadlus is unnecessary. So why do we do hishtadlus? Use the Yiddish phrase, zu beruhigen die Nerven. Imagine a person would sit back and do nothing. And if he could handle it, the wife could certainly not handle it. Nerdish die Nerven, Vater. So you call and you do and you do and you call. My personal opinion is alt gomish belt. Shidduch comes. I see sometimes shidduchim don't happen. We have this idea that a shidduch has to happen. But that's a very sensitive topic and certainly not something that I could cover in a minute. So I'm going to let it go. But not always does a shidduch have to happen. And not every person is zochet to a shidduch. But in any case, getting away from that very morbid thought, I want to share with you something in Lo Asid Lovo. Darko shel ish lachazor achar isha. We have a minhag in the Ashkenazi world. I was about to say the Ashkenazi circle because I have this tremendous propensity for making puns, but I try to control it. But in the Ashkenazi world, we have a minhag, which the Sfardim do not have, that the kala is taken by the machatenistas and she goes around the chosin 7 times. Some have minhagim 3 times, some have a minhag once. Generally, we have that she goes around 7 times. It's usually the responsibility of the Masada Kedushin, that is the caterer, to stand there and to count, because the Rav is, you know, somewhere always in outer space and he's thinking about a taisus or whatever it is, and he doesn't keep the cheshbon. There was one case where the caterer had to step out, and I think for 15 minutes the kala was going around the house. I'm not kidding you, I was there. In fact, I was the Masada Kedushin. In any case, the fact is that we have to explain that minhag. And everybody makes a joke, you know, that she's breaking down the walls of Jericho. In fact, she's not breaking a wall, she's creating a wall. And Chazal, in the Gemara in Yevamos, one of the things, and I mentioned it earlier, Shorui below Choma, without a wall. So the Mefarshim explained that this idea of Choma is that she's the protective barrier that keeps him safe and sound in the moral sense, and she creates for him an environment. It's really a very beautiful thought. And she's creating that chuppah. You know, I've always felt that there are two chuppahs. There's a chuppah where you're completely enclosed and completely by yourself. That is, of course, the yichud room. In fact, I have to check the room that there's no exit and no escape. It's sort of a symbol about marriage in general. But in the instance of the chuppah that we call the chuppah, look what the difference is. It's totally open. There aren't even any walls. There's just a covering over your head. And the audience is there, all cheering everybody on, but there's a big audience. There's no privacy whatsoever. In Yiddishkeit, the house reflects both of those images perfectly. The Jewish home. There's a tremendous sense of tznius and privacy, and there are certain times that nobody's allowed in. There's certain thoughts and feelings and emotions and relationships that no one else is allowed to share. Not even your own children. And certainly not your parents. But there's a great deal of the house that is hafnasas orchem and is tzibur oriented. And there's a tremendous amount where the house merges with the street. And in those cases, bedafka, under that chuppah which represents it, the wife has to create the invisible wall. And that's a tremendous yisod, which not too many people appreciate. In that nekeva tesovev gover, however, and they quote this pasuk in Yirmiyahu to embellish the thought, nekeva tesovev gover, she goes around together. That is the pasuk that is brought in Maseches Yevamos from the Navi Yirmiyahu. In that image of Nekeva Tesovev Gover, there is something much more futuristic. There's going to come a time when Molah Haaretz Deya Es Hashem. Ki Molah Haaretz Deya Es Hashem Kamayim LaYom Mechassim. And that time, the husband and the wife will hark to the ultimate perceptions of marriage. And because of that, not the instinct and the taiva will govern, and the darko shalish lachazar acharisha will dissipate, and instead it will be, in fact, the keva to solve gover. An indication that now we have a new model, where the model is that the tachlis of marriage has only one purpose and no one perceives anything other than that. And that is, of course, to best serve HaKadosh Baruch. That will be the tachlis of shiduchim. That will be the image of parents. There'll no be longer any b'ksuba sheyesh batigra. The whole ksuba may fall away. Everything will be that kind of perfection. But there's one more thing that I want to share. Do I have another minute? I want to share one more thought with you, because I don't want you to feel that I gave short shrift to the today. Chazal tell us kosher lezavgon kriyas yamsuf. I told you that I had my idea of what that means. I'd like to share that with you. You know, shidduchim, if they are made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to ask a very simple question. Why is it so miserably difficult for so many people? And for every person that has a glib story about how it happened, chik chak, chachtayim shalosh, there are 1,000 stories of how it didn't happen, chachtayim shalosh, and there are 10,000 stories that it hasn't happened yet, bichlam. In our yeshiva, we are groping and struggling with this. What is the best way to deal with this and to help people find shidduch? It's a current agenda, it's a current concern of the new president. But lemaisa, why is it so difficult if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not making it if it's random, if it's potluck. We understand. The world is a complicated world. Whenever you're dealing with people, it's complicated. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezadik zivugin, to the extent that I suggest that Ishtadlus is completely besides the point, to Bahuik and Denev, so then the question is, why is it so difficult? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make it so simple. Vayugad la'avrom lemar, hinei yoga, milka bonim l'nochar achimcha, esutz b'choro, etc., etc., ve'es b'suel, b'suel yolad es rivka, there she is, go and get her in Gandik, that's the shidduch. Why can't that be the scenario, the script for every single zivug that we have? You have to ask a different question. You have to ask a question, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a tovu meitiv, yes? He is, that's a fundamental principle in our emunah. He's a tovu meitiv. He created the world because he wanted to give chesed and hatovah to brios. So I want to understand something. These poor, wretched creatures who were slaves for such a long time and have had one miserable moment after another are finally set free. And they are sent out into the desert, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done something very, very nice for them. Really nice. He could have showed them that long before they arrived, when they were standing on the promontory and looking down upon the Sea of Reeds, the Yam Suf, the Red Sea, he could have given them an unbelievable picture. Look, the sea has parted and it is absolutely open and the bed is dry. Kindalach, just walk right through. And he could have instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to tell them that after you walk through, as the Egyptians are chasing after you, I will turn the waters upon them, and lo nishar bohem ad echad. And they will perish in the mayim, and that will be the end of your anxiety, and the end of your misery, and the end of your slavery, and now you are completely free. What is wrong with that scenario? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu play that kind of brinkmanship with Klal Yisrael? Why does there have to be a Cuban Missile Crisis? Why? Why does there have to be a Ribbono Shel Olam that says, Matitzak Eli? Why do they have to yell and scream? Why does Ribbono Shel Olam have to tell Nachshon Ben Aminadav, only after you go in and take your chances, that's when I will break the waters? So you know what the answer is? Because you don't become free unless you have that kind of challenge. Because you have to make the decision. And I don't know the stitches that are necessary to fill back to fill this entire picture. Because everyone can come with his own explanation. But I have a suspicion that Kosher Lezavgam Kekriyas Yamsuf means exactly that. That the Ribbono Shel Olam, for whatever reason and however it plays out, gives us these nisyonos bedafka before a marriage can happen. Now, I'm again not explaining why. I'm just drawing the analogy. The why we have to harav on, and it's a shir in its own right. But the fact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes things bedafka difficult so that the brinksmanship is right there, front row center. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to mucha in the shidduch. A lot of times we have, and I think that in a strange way that gives me at least tremendous chizuk. You see, when you think that you're
adrift on a raft and there's no rhyme or reason to what's happening to me, you can get hysterically frightened. But when you know that that raft is there for a reason and I'm getting to some destination and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put that raft there for me to drift in, it's an entirely different havana. And that's where Hishtadlus and Hishtadlus becomes critical. Is it Hishtadlus with a big hay, or is it Hishtadlus, a little bit of Hishtadlus? The Chazon Ish always says in many of his chiburim that when you are on a boat, or when you're swimming alone in the water and all of a sudden you feel that you might drown, you start to flail in the water because you're scared to death that this might be your last moment, and you unfortunately make things even worse for you. But if a person knew that that is part of the master plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't flail in the water. Whatever happens, happens. This is my matzah. He says that Yosef, when he asked the fellow who came out of the Beis HaSoar, the Sarah Mashkin, that he should remember him, is considered to have breached his covenant with Hashem as the greatest Baal Bitochon, even though he is defined as the Baal Bitochon par excellence. Why? Because to expect him was unusually and unlikely, and it's definitely not something that's reasonable. You only reach out for the unreasonable when you lose bitachon. In shiduchim it's also the same. There's a certain moment where a person could do strange things and become so unnerved. That's the difference between ishtadlus and ishtadlus. Of course we have to do our ishtadlus. But the ishtadlus is with the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And if you know that the method of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one of brinksmanship, then you don't fall into the yish and despair of thinking HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned me. That's kosher v'zavgam ketriyas yamsuf. Just scratch the surface, but Bezis Hashem Yisbarachot Chazal Mamoed, Baruch Shalom should make it easy for all of us and make the opportunities for Shidduchim ample and the right Shidduch there, and the parents should be happy and nobody should fight about flowers, and they should leave the children alone to live a blissful and wonderful Avodas Hashem kind of life, where each wife and husband is an Ezer Kadegdo, subjective, objective to one another.